You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody, it's James. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. Today, we are going to talk to Mark Masters. He just got through with the Vail Comedy Festival. We're going to go over all the things that he learned, good, bad, otherwise, what happened there, and we're going to learn a lot. Hopefully, I love these kind of stories because I'll talk about it in a different podcast with David, but David and I went to Alaska, and we learned a ton of lessons. I learned so much on that trip, but I know if I learned something on a trip of just 2 days, that Mark learned a lot in like a week of or weekend of doing, I don't even know how many shows there were, but we're going to ask him.
I'll fill you in, James.
All right. So welcome, Mark. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Again. So excited. This is the third Mark Masters Clean Comedy Podcast, Vail Comedy Festival pod. And you're going to get all your questions answered. Guaranteed.
I'm excited. So was it 3 days or 2 days?
It was 3 days, Friday, three Saturday, days. Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. So May 27, 28, 29 of 2022. And it was so great. It was so great. We sold out the festival Friday at about 3 p.m. Nothing worse than the way people just don't want to plan ahead. I don't blame them. But, you know, a week before the festival, this is a little bit of an exaggeration. We had 33 plus comics at the festival. And it seemed like we were going to have more comedians than audience members. Wow. But then the last like 10 days, sales really picked up. Last week, they especially picked up. And that last 2 days until we sold out Friday afternoon, we started at 10:45 in the morning, but at 3 o'clock, the passes sold out. And that was such a relief for me and made for great shows as well. They were all packed, which was really cool.
That's crazy because that's the scariest part of being a comedian is like, places want you to sell tickets or want you to sell like way ahead so they can kind of like guess. But us as human beings, we don't buy things usually till the last minute. Some people plan, but a lot of people are like, well, if we're open that weekend or things don't change, then we'll go down there and do it. So then it's stressful, especially probably for you as an organizer. But even like me organizing this two shows in Alaska was very nerve-wracking for doing it. And then finding out, like I went around town and Dave and I were talking about this. We went around town and some people were like, I went to go get a shirt because I wanted a new shirt that was going to represent Alaska. And the people, the place, which is like, I'm not even a mile up the road from where we were performing, was like, oh, you're doing a comedy show? Really? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So we got some flyers and went back to places and dropped flyers off. But I don't know, like, would that have affected it? Would we had a smaller turnout? Had we not done that? But it was really interesting. That's the hardest part of comedy.
It's always an adventure, and we put on 20 shows during the festival, so it was 20 times the adventure. But everybody knew about the festival for sure. We were in the Denver Post on Friday.
Nice.
We ended up being in the Vail Daily newspaper 3 times over the course of a couple weeks leading up to and during the festival. We were on TV. I was on TV. This is Saturday morning of the festival. We're in the Summit Daily, which is where Breckenridge and Keystone Mountains are. The Aspen Times. We definitely got the word out. People just, you know, they took their time getting tickets. And you're right about the immediacy. People really crave something they can have right now. I'll give you a quick example. When we sold out the festival passes, which were a couple $100 each, they were pretty expensive, but they got you all 20 of these shows and amazing headliners we'll get into in a little bit, including a surprise headliner. But then we decided we'd sell tickets at the door. And we wanted to penalize people kind of who hadn't planned ahead and bought a pass. So we decided to charge $40. And to me, that's a lot of money. I don't know how much you charge for your regular tickets. We charge $25 at the monthly Vail comedy show. And I feel like that $25 is a lot because previously I was used to doing free shows or like $10 shows. But the venue owner talked me into $25 and it's been great because people really come out for it and there's been no problem. So $40, I thought was insane, but we had just a constant stream of people who were like, what's going on here? How come everybody's laughing and having a good time? And then we'd explain, you know, we have these nationally touring comedians. There's a comedy show going on, same kind of comedy show you'd see at the Comedy Cellar in New York City. And it's happening right now. And they were opening up their wallets and dodging $100 bills, looking for small enough bills to pay $40. And get in. It was incredible. Like really the week before I was all panic about bills and all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like just cash flying at me. It was quite the change of events. It was incredible.
Yeah. How big of an impact do you think your banners had? Because I know we talked about the banners. How big of an impact do you think those had?
I think the coolest thing, it was for the comedians. They came into town and they saw this enormous signage for the festival, they were like, wow, the town is like, it's here for the the comedy festival is the thing this weekend. And it made them feel super special. We did in-person surveys to a lot of the guests of the festival, and many of them mentioned the signage. I mean, you couldn't miss the banners, and it looked so cool. I think you saw some pictures of the festival.
I did. Yeah, I did.
You could see. I mean, that banner is in the back of my Subaru right now. It's 16 feet wide. The brown one that's wide, and there's two of them.
That's awesome. So, yeah. I drove my first Subaru last weekend in Alaska.
Oh, so nice.
It was nice.
My Subaru's got 270,000 miles on it. So it's an old lady, old man. I don't know. I'm trying to get to 300 and then it's there time for something new.
There you go. So what was, you said you had a surprise headliner. I saw Steve Rogers here on there.
Steven Rogers, so funny.
His album's hilarious. He's very funny.
He was on James Corden like the week before the festival. Just an incredible lucky get. We had Steven Rogers. We had Caitlin Palufo, who absolutely destroyed. She's a past regular at the Comedy Cellar. She's been on Colbert. She is so funny, and she did so well in our main venue, which was the Bridge Street Bar. She's just like in your face crowd work. She was like, the bar has this railing and she was leaning over the railing into the audience, and that's just awesome. She destroyed. It was incredible. She was great. Usama Siddiqui was amazing. He's been on NBC's America's Got Talent. He's also at the Comedy Cellar. We just had great luck with our New York City comedians. Hazmin Garza was another one. And then our surprise headliner was Al Jackson. Originally from Cleveland, now based, have you heard of him? He's now based in Colorado, HBO, Comedy Central. Yeah. He's got a new hour special coming out soon. He crushed. And he crushed in the weirdest venue. It was this retail store that sells like $300 hoodies. I'm going to plug them because they were awesome for us.
Yeah.
Aviator Nation. They even gave me one of these fancy hoodies, which was super nice of them. And they couldn't have been more hospitable to the comedy show, which was such like a weird fit, but everybody ended up loving it. It was a hilarious, weird, quirky place to do comedy, but it worked out great.
That is so cool, man. I'm gonna have to come next year. I'm sad that I missed it. I'm gonna come next year.
We had a lot of comics who, you know, you can apply and maybe you'll get accepted, but we had comics who came who were not part of the festival. We had an open mic every single day. Steven Rogers, you know, he's been on Colbert, he's been on James Corden. He came to the open mic, you know, he was trying out new material. And so that's the awesome. Comics got to enjoy that. They got to hang out with the comedians and network. One of the comedians that came from, there was a comedian from Oklahoma who came to the festival, did the open mic. A guy from New York City talked to him afterwards, and he got booked on a show in New York City because of it. So incredible. Just incredible.
Off of open mic, that's amazing. Off of open mic, because that's where you're working out your stuff. You're trying to get it out there and figure it out.
Yeah, so exactly. So that reminds me of one of my favorite stories from the weekend. I'm going to tell real quick. It was a gentleman on Friday evening came up to me and said he basically wanted a refund. One of the staff volunteers grabbed me and said, "Hey, this guy wants a refund. Can you talk to him?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I'm like, the buck stops with me. I got to talk to everybody or figure out all the problems. If the toilet clogs, unfortunately, as I learned this weekend, I had to deal with it. So I start talking to this guy. I'm super nice. I'm like, "How are you doing? Where'd you come from? You know, like, how do you find the passes? What's going on?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, we're supposed to be here today and tomorrow, and we kind of want to refund it." And I was like, "Okay, what seems to be the problem?" And he says, "Well, it's just not very funny." And I was like, "You know, it's Friday, like 5-6 o'clock. Really, not much has happened. We've had a live podcast taping. We haven't had very many shows." And I said, "Oh, okay. What events have you been to?" He said, "Well, I went to the open mic." And that was it. He'd been to the open mic, and he was, and I had to suppress my laughter, but I've told this story like 50 times since. It's hilarious.
If someone complained to me about comedy open mic, I'm like, yes, that's what an open mic is. Would exactly. you go to the gym to watch Oscar De La Hoya train? And I'm like, this fight sucks. Right. Like, no.
So he took his festival past the open mic, which bless him, because we did have real audience members at the open mic, which was terrific. And then on Saturday and Sunday, the open mic hosts, who are awesome, Oren B and Charlie Cohen, they went out of their way to explain to the audience that, you know, this is not a booked show. This is just, we're working out things, you know, it's all trial and error. So anyways, that guy, I said, hey, let's talk in a couple hours. I got your name and info, and go into this show right now. It was called The Fiver. It was like 15 comics doing 5-minute spots all over the country. I talked to him after that show, and he was like, that was better. That was definitely better, but we'll talk a little bit later. And then we had the Usama Siddiqui headlining show on Friday night, which was, I mean, he crushed so hard.
Yeah,
it was,
of course,
it was amazing. Sure. He was so good. And then the guy came out of that and he was all smiles. He was like, that was unbelievable. This is the best thing ever. And then I saw him at the Late Show and I was talking to him at the Late Show and he's like, this is the best thing. So, yeah.
So the listen, people, story, open mics are not for you.
Yeah, they're not, you know. They're fun to go to, especially if you're really into comedy. You can kind of see how jokes evolve and how comedians work out stuff. But yeah, that was hilarious to me, because I really, at the time, I was pretty confident going into the conversation. I didn't think anything had gone wrong. It's like, why could this guy pop? You know, maybe he had like a family emergency, you know, and he had to travel or something. So I was being nice, and when he said, "It's not funny. What show have you been to? An open mic." It's just like, oh man, it's gonna get way better. Trust me.
Yeah, 1,000%
from New York, LA, Washington State, Alabama, all over the country. It is gonna get way better.
That's hilarious. So you mentioned some kind of toilet. What was like? It was where the comedians were staying, or was it at a restaurant?
No,
or
it was at a venue. We just had too many people, and the toilet backed up. And you know, I had to do everything at the festival, so I'm not above grabbing a plunger and going to town.
Wow, yeah. You're a man. Any other like wild stories? Like,
well,
they try to close down a venue or anything? Okay, go ahead.
Luckily, we had a venue try to cancel on us the week of the festival. And I won't say who it was, but I backed them off the ledge. And so that was kind of the biggest. Like,
what was their work? What was their concern? Was they just didn't think it would work out, or what?
They had some staffing problems, which I totally am empathetic towards.
Right.
But we had already like advertised them and had them in the schedule. And it was a whole lot of stuff to unwind it to change to a different venue that I didn't have the capacity to do. And pretty much I was the only person who knew how to do it at that point. It was like, things were in motion. I was like, don't worry about it. We'll bring all the staff. We'll take care of everything. We'll make sure the place looks even better, blah, blah, blah. Anyways. So that was one small emergency. A more interesting emergency or surprise to me was, we had a pizza party, pizza and beer, Vail Brewing Company. Thanks so much for the beer and Red Bull for the Red Bull, at the Artist Lounge for the comedians on Friday afternoon. And I sent some volunteers over with my credit card to grab the pizza, and they came back and they were like, good news. We got all the pizzas. Bad news. Your card got declined. And I was like, all right, whatever. And so they paid cash and I paid them back later. And I didn't really think anything of it. And I charged something else later. It went fine. And then the next day at lunch, I'm in line in front of a comedian, Eric Helwig from Los Angeles. He's been on America's Got Talent as well. And my card gets declined. And it's kind of embarrassing. And he's like, let me buy your sandwich. Super nice guy. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. And he's like, don't worry about it. So he buys my sandwich. And then something else I charged later works just fine. And it wasn't until Saturday night, I had one of the volunteers call the number on the back of the credit card and figure out what was going on. And it turns out I didn't even know this. I had a $15,000 limit on the credit card and I was at like 14,900 and change. And so if the charge was big enough, it wasn't going through. And if it was smaller, sometimes it was going through, but anyways, there was no way to change it. So basically I was luckily I had paid for everything already. I paid for the banners, you know, paid for a lot of the food and the drinks and the festival badges, which were gorgeous. Yeah, that was a surprise. Maxed out.
So,
credit cards.
Next year you're going to make sure your credit limit's like 50,000 before that.
Yes,
so there's
absolutely
no issues whatsoever.
I'll request a higher limit, and hopefully next year, some of our sunk costs help out.
Yeah. Like, we'll become
like banners. This, you can see my fancy new banner behind me.
Yeah.
On the previous two episodes, if you paid very close attention, it's a comedy show instead of comedy festival.
That's
and amazing. The t-shirts were like thousands of dollars. Holy
Those
cow.
T-shirts look cool, by the way.
Aren't
that's
they
cool
nice? Yeah. We have a small, medium, and large left. If anybody wants one, they're like the super nice.
I'm only an extra large. Otherwise, I would definitely buy one.
Yeah. A long sleeve.
Oh.
So hit me up.
Look cool.
If you want a t-shirt, everybody.
Dude, what about the hoodie? I saw a hoodie in there. Is that not the same
hoodies? Yeah, we sold out. We sold them for $100 a piece and we sold 10 of them. They cost $56 to make. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that out loud, but yeah, they were very expensive. I don't know that it's inflation. They were the nicest I could buy. You know, I've been to enough events where you get like a budget t-shirt or hoodie and it just goes straight to Goodwill or in the trash or Salvation Army. And I've always been of the opinion that you get the nicest stuff you can afford.
Now I have a question. Did you do stand up at the festival?
Good question. I did an open mic, and I hosted the very last show. So there were 20 shows and I had a bunch of announcements to make. I got up on stage before every single show and just kind of like, I brought up the host and would make, you know, tell people where the next show was and just share information, you know?
So, but you didn't do a set. You didn't do open mic. You didn't.
I did a set at the open mics and I did a set on the closing.
Oh, okay. Good.
Show. That was Caitlin Plufo's show. I hosted that whole show.
Gotcha.
And I did a set. I was awful, by the way. It was one of my worst sets in a couple of years. I was very emotional on stage, like thanking everybody. And then I was telling my jokes and I know they work in most situations, and I would get to a punchline and people wouldn't laugh, and almost worse, a second later they would laugh supportively,
right?
Like you knew they wanted me to succeed on stage, and I was like, oh, this is so awful. I really I need one good laugh and I'm getting out of here. Like I had marked out 10 minutes. I think I did about six. I did a bit that about emojis and it did really well. It was high energy and I was like, all right, I'm getting off stage.
Yeah,
I don't have it tonight. I'm like off kilter. My timing was off. And
I was a little off on my show in Alaska too, because it was all daylight the whole time we were there, except for like 3 hours.
That's so cool.
So like I was like tired because we flew in Friday, but I was tired. And then but the Sunday show went great. So that was fine. These pictures are beautiful. I don't know where you're sharing them at. Hopefully all over the place, because this is crazy.
Yeah, out onto Instagram here and there from comics. And amazing photographer Nick Holmby out of Colorado, dude, IDK, just did such a great job capturing what happened at the festival. It was, in some ways, it was easy to photograph. In other ways, you know, it's difficult. It's a low light environment and people are drunk and, you know, there are challenges, but it was really, Vail's a beautiful place. And everybody, it was having a good time, lots of smiles and unique venues.
Yeah, this is, I like the bar venue is the coolest looking one that I've ever seen.
The one with this banner?
Yeah, where the banner is. I see Steven on that stage there. It's got like the rail
that's
and
Bridge
stuff.
Street Bar. We have that a monthly beautiful comedy show. June 23rd, we're back. We're doing it all over again. We'll do it every month until next Memorial Day weekend. We do another 3 days at the festival.
The way that's going to work is
November, the submissions will open for the comics. January-ish, tickets, festival passes will go on sale. I'm sure they'll sell out even quicker this year. So failcomedyfestival.com if you're looking for information about the festival.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. What is what was the... Do you have any weird things that happened to you? Like, did you personally, besides talking to the guy, did you personally have anything happen that you're like, oh, it's going to derail my weekend. Oh, it's going to make it hard. Besides a credit card or whatever.
Good. Yeah, sure. I almost lost my Subaru on Thursday of the festival. We did a show Thursday night that wasn't even part of the festival. We did it for free at a brewery just because a bunch of comics were in town. And then we had a surprise headliner, Brant Tobler from Comedy Central, come out, and like 70 people showed up. It was awesome. It's really fun. The town of Vail, they came out all weekend, but Thursday night, that was super cool. But during the day on Thursday, I drove down the wrong way down a street and parked in an illegal parking area. And my car was backwards. And there were like 6 signs that said construction area, do not park here. And I was like loading and unloading and doing his stuff. And I come out to my car and a bunch of the festival volunteers are there. One of them ran in to get me out of a hotel and we're like, you got to come out to your car right now. It's getting towed. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I come out and there are two cops in uniform, you know, super serious. And they kind of give me the business and I'm very nice and polite and respectful and apologetic as well. And as it turned out, one of our festival volunteers was an ex-police officer and it kind of smoothed things over before I had even gotten there. And I luckily, you know, knock on wood, I got out of jail for free.
But wow, that is amazing. Cause I would have been like, oh no, everything, this is all falling apart.
Yeah, my car's full of all the equipment I needed for the venues and I need it to get around. And, oh man.
Wow. That is crazy. I love that you did this. What was there any one big lesson that you learned from this festival weekend that you could say, I will never repeat that again, or if this is something I always have to do moving forward?
Well, yeah, there are a couple in the always have to do or just very positive. One of the best things about the festival, which was kind of planned, but you know, I don't want to take too much credit for it. We had six venues in Vail Village. And to walk from the farthest two apart was a 3-minute walk. Oh, so everything was unbelievably close. And that was super cool. It was great for the comics. There was no like stressing out, trying to race across town to get your next gig. And it was fun for the audience members as well. Cause like at the end of a show, I'd get on stage and be like, all right, next show starts in an hour. If you go out the door here, you take a right, it's the fifth door on the right. You know, like it was just very basic, simple, easy to get around. Signage, we talked about the banners, that was so helpful. We had a roll-up banner that just said Vail Comedy Festival that we did in the pop-up venues. Having extra equipment was huge. Like we had the audio setup at Bridge Street Bar, and then we had two roaming pop-up setups, like full mic, XLR cable, spotlight, speaker system, and two trolleys. We could use a third trolley next year, we decided. Another great suggestion that came from a festival organizer, I can't remember who, they said make a Google Doc or something like that for the festival staff to put suggestions in all weekend long. So we used Slack, which is like a chat tool, for all the comics and the staffers, and we had a channel called Staff Suggestions. People just dumped in their ideas all weekend long. There were like 15 a day and they were great. So we're going to implement almost all of those next year. That will be a huge help. Nice. What other lessons? Measure. What's that saying? Measure twice, cut once.
Cut once. Yeah.
You ever order something online, but not pay attention to how big it is. And then it shows up. And
cheese,
it's like
I did it one time.
Tiny, yeah. Super tiny, or you get like 8 pounds of cheese, you know? So I bought this stage. And luckily, because we did the Thursday night show, which in the back of my head, I was like, it will be good to test out the pop-up equipment, the sound system and the spotlight. But I wasn't really thinking about the stage. So I bought this 3-foot by 3-foot stage, and it's the same thing that like rock bands use, et cetera. And it has an accordion base. You like pull this thing apart and then the platform sits on top of it. And when I pulled it apart, I was like, surely this can't be right, because it was 24 inches high. It was 2 feet tall, which I don't know if that sounds like not that much, but imagine trying to like jump up onto stage.
Yeah, 2 feet, yeah.
On and off. It was a total, like, I just bought it because it was cheaper than the other ones that were 3 feet by 3 feet, but I didn't look at all of how, like the standard is 8 inches. So this was three times as tall.
We had to deal with it all. Jumping onto it.
We had like step stools, and there were comics who refused to get up on it because it seemed too dangerous. We had an NFL player at the festival, and he was like 300 pounds, and he stepped onto a corner of it and it like tilted up, and it was just like,
wow.
Yeah. Measure, get your measurements and open your packages ahead of time, I guess, is the lesson there.
Awesome. Yeah. And so now that you've done it, now that it's happened or whatever, I don't know. It's just like, this is so crazy. Like, do you think like
I'm so
it's
thrilled.
successful. Do you think it's like successful? Did you feel successful?
I felt so lovely. I felt really good about it. And the comics and the audience could not have been sweeter. And it wasn't perfect, James. Like there were definitely, there was congestion at pass pickup. And we had it during that Steven Rogers set, one of the XLR cables, we got, it wasn't working properly. We did some live podcast tapings, and there were some audio issues, and we had a couple midday shows that weren't super well attended, but like 90% of everything was great. And because it was the first year, people were very relaxed and like they saw how hard everybody was working to make this a great thing. And so when something wasn't awesome, they were pretty cool about it, pretty chill about it. And I super appreciated that. But I can't wait for next year. I honestly couldn't imagine it being better next year. Like, I don't think we'll ever have the same energy. Like after the late shows, we would have after parties and all the comics, all across the country meeting each other for the first time. It was like going to the best summer camp ever. Everybody was like super happy and positive and enthusiastic. And just the energy was fantastic. And it's going to be hard to replicate that energy again.
I think I forgot to ask you this before. You don't live in Vail, do you?
I don't, no. I live down in Denver, but I used to live in Vail like a long time ago as a ski bum.
So how far is that from Denver? Like, what's
it's 100 miles.
It takes you about an hour and a half to get there?
Hour and a half to 2 hours. And in winter, it can take 4 hours sometimes. But generally, like 90 minutes, is pretty standard.
You're making the wheels of my head work because I'm thinking, where could I do something cool like this?
Well,
like
to give away my secret powers, but I have I don't like to say this myself. I'd rather other people said it, but I have a good reputation for running very good shows.
Yeah. That's true. I do. I have heard great things before I met you. I actually heard great things about you.
Yeah. And the secret really is just that I put on shows in places where the audiences are very excited for it. So Denver or LA would be similar. There are multiple great showcases every night of the week with outstanding lineups, and they're poorly attended because there's just so much to do and people are kind of over comedy. When I put on a monthly comedy show in like June 23rd, Damon Sumner from Atlanta, and we're flying him in, and he'll do Bridge Street Bar, and it's going to be a great show. There's not another comedy show within a month of that show up there. So those residents, they can drive to Denver. They can go to Comedy Works and drive an hour and a half, and five nights a week they could see a comedy show if they wanted to drive, an hour and a half each way. But in their own backyard, that's really been, I think that's been my sweet spot, is finding a place that's thirsty or hungry, whichever metaphor you like, for live entertainment and comedy specifically, and bringing you have to bring a high quality show as well. Those two things together, plus environment, are so important. I could go on and on about how spotlighting and good sound and good seating and low ceilings, and I think I've talked about that on the pod before.
I'm gonna have to be. Now, are we gonna get a Mark Masters how to run a comedy show and festival?
Well, I do think so. My first book, Not Good Yet, was about my first 6 months of comedy. And I'm coming up in 8 days, it will be 4 years. So I'll be in my fifth year of comedy. And I've threatened to do this almost every year, but I think the next book will be about the first 4 years. And then, towards the end, it will be the festival, because I was very close to the end of my fourth year. And it was definitely, for me, it felt like a significant accomplishment. And I've had a lot of people reach out that I didn't expect, people saying, hey, I saw the pictures on Instagram, or even better, hey, I heard through word of mouth, the festival was incredible. Good job. Congrats. It was so much work though. Holy cow. Like, if you go to a comedy festival, just hug the organizer and hand them $5 or something. They deserve it for sure. They are working so hard. And the comedians, man, the comedians brought it, James.
It looks, those pictures are amazing.
Yeah, the audiences were super happy, and not just the headliners. I mean, everybody, people who are, they're in their first 5 years of comedy and struggling, but have had really good tape and were able to get into the festival. Everybody did super. were super funny. And yeah, just, I was thrilled.
It's awesome. I'm very excited. I'm so happy for him. So glad it came out and stuff. So good job, man. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. And thank you for the support. We had two podcasts where we, you know, the first one was kind of like, are we going to do this? What's the comedy festival going to be like? And then the second one was like, okay, we got comics. We got a venue. I mean, that was another total heartache. Was 2 weeks before the festival, I did not have those six venues, you know, like places where they were having staff.
I would have had a heart attack, I think.
James, I had like high blood pressure for like 6 weeks going into the festival. It was like everything that could go wrong. You know, I was like the mallard duck, you know, I looked calm on the surface, but underneath I was kicking like crazy. I was, you know, sending emails and making phone calls and shaking hands. And I'll tell you another amazing thing. The Vail business community, real in the end, they came out great for the festival. They were so supportive. And one of the best examples is we had gift bags for all the comedians. They were at the hotel when they checked in. And they also got these gift packs from Rocket Fizz, which is a national candy store chain, but there's one in Vail. And they supported our family-friendly stuff, which we should talk about in a second. But they put these candy and soda things into the hotel rooms. And we also had gift bags with like gift cards and tokens. And so off the top of my head, there was a token good for a drink up to $20 at Root and Flower in Vail Village, a token good for a beer at Vail Brewing Company, a $10 gift card to Loaded Joe's, which is a breakfast and coffee place, a gift card for a free coffee at Two Arrows, which is another coffee shop, a token that was good for $10 at Gorsuch Ski Cafe, which is a, you know, you get muffins and pastries and coffee. So I had all this stuff, plus like a little prize pack from Socially Twisted Card Games, which is like a improv card game thing that sponsored the festival. So it was like all these goodies. That one is an example of a outside of Vail supporter. Right. But
that's so cool, man. And you said you had a family friendly show too?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had several. We had three family friendly events. We call it the Rocket Fizz stage. It was in Lion's Head. If people are familiar with Vail, there's the Vail Village, which is where the covered bridge is and Gondola One is. And then 1 mile away is Lion's Head. It's like the second village, it's the expansion village. Also super beautiful. It's where the Arabelle is, which was this $1 billion project they did about 20 years ago. And so over there, which is where Rocket Fizz is, we had these outdoor shows with a magician who came in. And the magician, like in the comedy community, magicians are kind of like, magicians are dumb, whatever. And for sure, we had an adult magic show, like not adult, like
right.
raunchy, but just like wasn't intended for children. And it was at that Bridge Street Bar. And we had like a group of 10 comics. We kind of begrudgingly dragged themselves in to fill out the audience for us. And by the end of the show, like three of them got pulled on stage and they were absolutely blown away. I was as well. Like I was literally shocked. Like the things that the magician did, just like my expectations were here and it was wild. It was to the point where one of the comedians, we filmed a bunch of interviews during the festival called Live from Vail Comedy Festival. We'll put that out as a podcast, a web series eventually. One of the comedians, Sammy Anser, got up on stage and did a trick with the magician. And during his interview, he talks about how every comedian that was there came up to him afterwards and asked him how long he had been on the trick. Like, when did he get trained? How did he know how this? And he was like, dude, I had no idea. I was as blown away as you were. I had nothing to do with that trick. I don't know how it happened. I don't understand it. That's still. Awesome. So
that's hilarious.
That was super cool. Yeah, it was just, it was fun. So the family stuff was great. Rocket Fizz was a great supporter. And I think we really helped. If you've seen pictures, there are like over 100 kids and family members there. And it was all free, open to the public. And we just, really, I just wanted to be a good community member because, you know, you never know what's going to happen when 30 plus comedians show up in a small town. And I was like, this is my insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything, nothing bad did happen, but
you never know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let me grab a festival pass real quick. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
10 seconds. That's amazing, people, that you have to think that Mark went from just doing a monthly show to now putting on a 3-day, technically 4-day, because he had Thursday festival. And to me, that sounds wild. I mean, I've done monthly shows and all these things, and I've just, you know, planned trips now to Alaska, and we're doing some other stuff. I will tell you guys that I'm going to Texas with Darren Carter. We're going to do San Antonio, Texas in July. Oh my gosh.
These were the badges. Everybody had to wear these on their neck. I'm just kidding. For those of you who are just listening, it's a big sign that we had outside of Bridge Street Bar. No. These were the badges with beautiful artwork from Jeff Tice that were on the banners everywhere, and has a little bit of flair for the staff.
Wow.
They were very, it was cool. A lot of attention to detail that went into making the festival a success. And honestly, the volunteers, like, there was this woman, Brooke, who put together those gift bags and drove them to like 8 different hotels. And
wow,
just like, she worked like 12-hour days for a week. It was
Bravo,
it was a
Brooke,
lot of work.
Bravo.
It was a lot of, yes. Bravo, Brooke. Incredible. The social media, we posted something on social media every day for 80 plus days leading up to the festival. And then, so like 65 days in, we'd still not even sold 65 festival passes. I was just like, oh man, this is ridiculous. But it worked out in the end. Thank goodness.
That's how it works. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Go check out. Are you going to be putting those on Instagram or on your site for those photos and stuff?
They're on, various comedians have access to them, and they're posting them on Instagram. But yeah, you can follow at Vail Comedy Festival on Instagram, and we're now posting a photo a day as a flashback to the festival. And we have thousands of photos, and we'll have a video soon that's put together. And we're at Vail Comedy Fest on Twitter, and vailcomedyfestival.com is really the home for information. It currently has all the comedians and shows that was part of the 2022 Comedy Festival, but for Memorial Day weekend 2023, we'll get that updated, you know, over the next 6 to 9 months once I get caught up on sleep.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks, everybody. We are so glad that it went off without a hitch. I mean, of course, some hitches were there, but they turned out great, because that's amazing, man. I love to see your success, and we should share in that. So that's great. Thank you, everyone. Please like, subscribe, and follow. Go check out Mark and the Vail Comedy Festival, and have a good one. Bye.